Here he is, Stewie Clark. Are you a wax head, Stew?
I've lived at Cronulla my whole life, but I've got to say to you, I can't surf to save myself.
I know. I'm just one of those who admire the surf these days.
Yeah. Mate, it looks good, man. It looks like a really good thing to do and all the rest of it. I just can't do it, to be fair.
Yeah, and TK, he called you a tearaway.
Oh, thank you. I think I'll probably start with that. Thank you. Rally is probably not quite the truth, but still, thank you.
Oh, good on you. Stewie, obviously they're 2-0 down England, and I don't know if you've found the two test matches, but I've really enjoyed them. And I think England have competed for days in the test matches, but there's been the moments and, let's say, you know, the 440, Joe Root saying, we're going to bowl. We make 440 when it was probably only a 320 first innings if they'd bowled better. And that's sort of the game, really, isn't it?
Yeah, they've competed. I've loved the test match. They're Ashes test matches. So if you don't love these ones, you're probably going to struggle to love a test match anyway. But England, you know, they've been okay, but they've been disappointing. And not so much from their cricket. Some of the things, just their attitude, I think, has been disappointing. And I look at the Anderson and Broad issue when Joe Root bowled on day one. They just didn't look interested. They just didn't run in and, you know, I hate using the term have a go because everyone has a go, but they just weren't. They didn't look interested in having a bowl. They thought they should have batted, and from what I could see, they ran and bowled half rat power, and Australia got away, and they put 440 on the board.
Yeah, it was interesting. I just wonder, Stewie, if they were 1-0 up or even a draw at the Gabba, I'm sure Joe Root would have had a more positive outlook, and it would have been more of, we'll bat and we'll set the pace here.
Yeah, I think you're right. He'd gone and looked at the stats and all that type of stuff and said, well, we've got to bowl because that's the way you win the game. He didn't look at the conditions. He didn't look at how cold it was. Ball really didn't swing around. Oh, they've just made fundamental little issues throughout the course of the game that, I don't know, you just sit back and you go, guys, you could have been so much closer and we could have been talking about one all or, you know, that type of scenario.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I've thought they've been enthralling test matches, plenty of ebb and flow, but in the end, we thumped them by 10 wickets and then thrashed them by 120 runs, so that's just the fact of the matter. But don't worry. The curfew's back in place now. So that'll solve everything.
No, it works.
Yeah, it works.
Isn't the whole curfew, they're grown men, they're professional athletes getting paid $1 million a year, circa. Yeah, round about that. Do they really need someone to tell them what time they can go to bed and what time they can get up and what time they can go to the toilet? Seriously, if they can't work it out themselves, well, there's probably something in that. They probably should be on the tour. They shouldn't be here anyway.
Yeah, well, it just says how the squad's going, though, mate. I mean, whenever you hear curfew, you know that they're misbehaving and it's an extreme measure. But the players, but they'll buck it straight away. You've got them. You know, it's a fine line, isn't it? And they get the poo-poos with it. It's sort of like, we are adults, we are on plenty, and we should be telling you what to do.
Well, absolutely. The problem is they haven't been able to do it. The problem with the curfew, and the question for the curfew all the time is, if your best player breaks the curfew, so whoever it may be, are you going to drop him?
No.
Well, at that point there, the whole thing's, you know, null and void. Yeah. Because if it isn't a rule for everyone, then who cares? Because people know that. People know that the best player can get away with what he wants. Don't have it. Tell them to work it out themselves. If they don't work it out, well, then deal with it appropriately. And it's appropriately, it may mean sending him home or not picking him or whatever it may be. The bloke that poured the drink on Jimmy Anderson's head, they were probably having a bit of fun and they probably got, you know, they had a little bit too much to drink. And, you know, one thing to, well, send him home. Yeah. I bet that'll fix it. I bet you the next bloke's not going to do it.
No, it's a good point. One thing it does smack, and I'll get both your opinions here, it smacks of me a lack of respect for the coach and Trevor Bayliss and a lack of leadership or lack of respect for Joe Root. I mean...
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't respect Trevor Bayliss and Joe Root, or just maybe athletes, because of their pay balance these days, their pay packet these days, they don't have that sort of respect. But if... I mean, you just toe the line with the coach and the captain.
If I was Joe Root, here again's a fine line, but if I'm Joe Root and it falls back on me, the result of these test matches, and my players are bucking the system and being, you know, whatever to his face and then going off and doing different things. I would say, Trevor Bayliss, you can say what you say, but leave it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to take these players aside and in no uncertain terms, if you give me the authority, I'm going to read them the riot act and I want to recommend sending them home if they keep misbehaving because I'm the one that goes out in the middle with them and they tell me they're committed, but they're not committing to me, the captain, and who's going to lose their job if we keep losing?
Yeah, Joe Root's the one that's really got to take control. Maybe he's not, you know, he's a young captain and he's, you know, he's still finding his way from a captaincy point of view. But, you know, if you want to, I suppose if you want to be in charge and you want to put the big boy pants on, then, you know, you've got to make decisions and the decisions aren't the popular ones.
No, you've got to be the leader. All right, Hanscom, does he play? And I want to ask you, as a fantastic fast bowler, you see him on TV, you know his technique. I bet you'd fancy bowling to him.
Every time I watch him, I think, geez, what would I do here? Because you're right, it looks awkward to start with. The thing with Peter Hanscom is, look, his technique probably works at different stages, and when he's getting runs and he's confident, I suggest, you know, no one has any questions. And people say things like, well, it goes to show that you can bat many different ways and score runs and things like that. That'll be what people are saying.
Mm.
The problem with it is when you're batting and you're out of form and you look as awkward as he looks, people start asking questions. And that's exactly what's happening now. We're starting to say, can you really bat with both feet behind the crease? Can you really bat and play back to every ball? Can you really be successful? If he was getting 50 and 100 every game, we wouldn't be talking about it. We'd be saying, this is unique.
Yeah.
And, you know, God love, you know, people that bat. Like Phil Hughes was a great example of that. Every time he got out, he looked awkward. You know, he'd fend one and go up in the air and go, oh, his technique's no good. Yet he'd come out to Shield Cricket, peel him off, get 100 after 100 after 100, and everyone will go, this bloke's a fantastic player. It's the way it looks. And, look, I don't like the way he bats. I'd love to bowl to him. You know, I imagine all the England blokes do, but, you know, he's got to decide whether it's about the way he looks or it's about how many runs he scores, and that's going to be the making of Peter Hanscom.
I reckon they drop him, and I reckon Mitch Marsh plays.
I agree. I think they will drop him.
I think that's what they're going to do, and there's been a bit of a...
But would you?
It's been a little bit, would I?
Yeah, what would you...
My personal feeling is that he's gone in the head.
Yeah, so you
know,
give him a rest.
Because all the pulling apart of his technique is valid in the commentary box, and they're doing the same on the radio.
That's all right. Yeah.
It all gets back to the player. They can't avoid it, and if they don't hear it, their mum and dad or their brother and sister or their friend are saying, God, they're ripping into you. I don't know why, mate. You've had a couple of bad innings. And he says, oh, it doesn't worry me, but it's in his head. And as soon as you start to doubt yourself, and I think he's doubting himself, that's enough for me to say, well, we've got the form player.
Yeah.
It's all right saying going back to Shield Cricket and rectify it. They don't play a Shield game until...
No, it's all Big Bash.
Yeah, it's all Big Bash now. Yeah. And he plays Big Bash. That's not going to rectify a technique because it's totally different. But, there isn't a Shield game for 2 months.
He needs a complete remodelling because if he's going to rectify it, there's a few fundamental things that need to be... I think he needs to work on. You know, he'll be successful at different stages, but it's always going to look a bit odd. Always going to look uncomfortable, and he's going to get out in funny ways, playing back to a ball that's almost hitting the crease and hitting him on the toe, and he's just going to miss one. You know, everyone misses him, everyone nicks him type stuff. So I think they'll drop him. I think they'll play Mitchell Marsh. I think you'll probably hear today that the wicket will be green and bouncy. And everywhere
that old chestnut.
Yeah, and you'll get there, it'll be the flattest wicket you've ever seen. It'll be 500 plays, a lot.
Yeah.
And they'll want the extra bowler just to make sure that Stark, Hazelwood and Cummins can actually get through the series because what they don't need them doing is bowling 1,050,000 overs in this game and then having to go to Melbourne and Sydney, which are pretty much back-to-back. So from that point alone, I think they'll play Mitchell Marsh.
Yeah, it goes against my theory about picking the best top six batsmen in the country, but I don't think Hanscom currently is one of those top six. The only problem is I see Mitch Marsh as a bowling all-rounder, and I think the selector see him as a batting all-rounder.
Yeah, well, he's only just started. He's had a shoulder problem, so he's only just started bowling and he's been scoring. They see him as a bat. You know, if he's not bowling, they'd still be playing him as a batsman if on the back of the run. I'd be playing Maxwell. I'd go to Maxwell, but
well,
I don't
he's
think...
he's the better batsman.
I'm not sure he's aligned with the captain at the moment. So,
nah.
And, mate, I want to mention Cummins because, you know, you look at the wickets column and he could and probably should have got more. He's playing really well. We know what Hazelwood does. We know what Stark does. But Cummins, mate, he's bowling well.
Oh, I think he's been the best bowler. The figures don't suggest that, but some of the spells he's bowled and the way he's bowled with with the pace and the he just looks intimidating. He hurdles in at a million miles an hour, bowls it down there. That's what I actually think. It could be he could have five in each innings the way he's bowled. It just hasn't worked for him. So I don't think that's far away. You know, we've all sat back and watched Pat Cummins. And we've all questioned, you know, what they did with him and the amount of time he spent out of cricket. But you got to put your hand up and say, look, well, maybe I've got it wrong. They got Pat Cummins right, and look, he's a very, very important part of that bowling attack now, because there's no respite. Once you get rid of Hazelwood and Stark, you get him, and it's no fun facing him.
Yeah, they're the best trio going around. And then Nathan Lyon, mate, he's just such a good bowler, and he's so confident. He's a wicket taker. Good on you, Stewie. We'll talk soon, mate.
Cheers, boys. You have a good day. I don't know whether I'm going to come in there again, TK, soon, or do I get another chance to get Mudgee, or I've been dropped after Mudgee?
Well, I thought you could have been better. No. Mudgee was good. It was good to be on the road, mate. No, we'll see you soon.
How's that little selfish bugger and his thousands of dollars?
There's no iron team.
Who's that?
Ben won all the money outside of the little syndicate we formed, and
he was playing rogue, was he?
Yeah.
He went rogue.
He went off station.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. Sneaky.
Not good, is it? Disappointing. Yeah. Anyway.
See you, Stewie.
See you, boys. Have a good day.